Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I should have labeled this sermon a preacher's indulgence because I am not using the standard scriptures for the day. I've chosen scriptures that I chose 25 years ago for my wedding day. And I want to tell you a little bit about that day. Of course, now I'm looking back 25 years, and Bob and I looked at our videotape. We actually have this on tape. It was a Sunday morning. It was a regular worship service, and I was sitting up in the balcony in all my wedding finery. Bob was in the front row, and he was told under no circumstances was he to look back because you can't see the bride on her wedding day. And I remember when we were looking at the videotape saying, oh, that one's dead, and that one's dead. And yeah, they died a few years ago, and that one's dead. There's a lot of dead people that after 25 years I've lost. And then we were looking at some and saying, who's that? Can't remember who that person is. Now, there were 269 people there that day. Only 21 were Bob's. And the rest were mine or emissaries sent from people who couldn't come. And then for the reception, there were over 300 because this was the Bronx. And people found out there was a party in the church basement. So we had wedding crashers. By the time it was over, all the beautiful arrangements that were in the church were gone. We had bought some cute wedding glasses, sunglasses. They were gone. Any memento was stripped out of that church. One lady brought a big bag to the reception, and there was a big tray of cheese, and she dumped it all into her bag. You know, it was the Bronx. My dear pastor, the bishop, Bishop Thomas, was usually quite a competent man, but for some reason, this day was rattling to him. He showed up at the church a few minutes before service time, and my mother races into the parsonage and says, "Where's your surplice?" Thinking, why on earth would she need my surplice on my wedding day? Well, the bishop had forgotten his. Now, he was quite a bit taller than me. So this was kind of a mini surplice on him. But at least we saved the day. Now, I was very organized, and I had given the bishop a binder with the service in it, because at that time, in 1991, the readings for the Moravian Church were a bit archaic, especially when it came to the husband as the head of the wife. I didn't like that, so I had taken that out. I also didn't like the part of the service where it says, "Speak now or forever hold your peace," because I thought some Weisenheimer was going to say something, so I took that out. And I had the service very well placed for my modern sensibilities. He left it at home. So I'm standing in front of him, and he's reading off all this stuff. And, you know, I twitched, but, you know, we got through it. When he came to the part of the sermon, I had chosen these passages because I thought of the good fortune that Bob and I had to come together. That after so long, I was 36 when I met Bob, so I made sure there was no grass grew under my feet. We were met and married within 5 months. I was not going to go through a long courtship. Now, that's not to say everybody should do that. But I figured that perhaps he would talk about sowing in tears and reaping in joy. I thought perhaps he would talk about good attitudes in marriage, about whatever is true and honorable and just and of good report. But he didn't preach about that because this man was a little wiser than me. And he spoke about walking into an uncertain future. Now, I have to admit, I had not thought beyond the honeymoon. I really hadn't. But he knew that there was an uncertain future ahead of me. Not only an uncertain future ahead of me, but an uncertain future ahead of the church. Because you see, the Sunday that I was married was my very last Sunday in that church. And I was moving on, and they would have to go through the call process. We had grown to love each other very much in those 6.5 years, and it was a hard-fought love, sometimes literally fought love. We had a hard time getting to know each other, but by the time I left, I loved them and they loved me, and they were losing me. So they were going into an uncertain future. I was going into an uncertain future. I was leaving the city that I loved for the suburbs of Washington, D.C. I knew no one out there. My husband was still in the military, which meant for the first 3 years of our marriage, we would only see each other weekends if we were lucky, because he was also a Navy man, which meant sometimes there were months of deployment. And we had to figure out how to be with each other during that time. It was an uncertain future, even though the bride was only looking toward the honeymoon. And I want to talk to you about what it means 25 years later to look back at that time and to look and see what God has done. The pastor did speak about rejoicing in the Lord always, and he wasn't talking about when we're at a party. He's talking about something very different. Because you see, the person who wrote that was the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul was in prison, and his future looked grim indeed. He was facing execution. The people he was writing to did not have a good future ahead of them. They were undergoing severe persecution. And all they could see ahead of them was more trouble. And yet in that context, he says, rejoice at all times. No matter what's going on, rejoice. How can you live a life of joy when everything around you is falling apart, when the future is so uncertain? And he gives us the key. He says, the Lord is near. God is with us. And then he said, don't worry about anything. How many of us have gotten through life not worrying about anything? Now, I think it sounds silly, doesn't it? Don't worry. But he said, rather than worry, when we're worrying, give it up to God. That's how we get through life. I wish that in those 25 years, I could tell you I followed that advice all the time and I never worried, but I would be lying. But as I look back in the lens of 25 years, I can see the hand of God, that when I worried, that God was working things out. When I worried about losing my parents, losing my anchor, and thought I could never survive that, and yet here I stand several years after their death, and God brought us through that time of tremendous sorrow. Rather than worry, give it to God. Then he said, let your gentleness be known to everyone. And what does that mean, to let your gentleness? Some of us think that that means a holy doormat. And I don't believe that that's what it means, let your gentleness. Gentleness means steadfastness of purpose. Gentleness means regarding other people. Gentleness means bringing people into your sphere of influence and helping them and upholding them. The bishop that day put it this way, take yourselves lightly so that you can fly like the angels. Take yourselves lightly, so you can fly like the angels. What a wonderful thing that is, to take ourselves lightly. And then he said, the promise of God is this. When we commit to prayer, when we commit ourselves to the grace of God, into that uncertain future, we can go because we are promised that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds, put a sentinel around our minds, our souls, our hearts. That's the promise of God. And I have seen in 25 years that sentinel being surrounding us in all of life, whether we were in joy or sorrow, whether we were in trouble, whatever was happening. We had, we count it funny now, it was not at the time. Bob had been deployed for 3 months. He no sooner walked in the door, and it's, honey, darling, sweetheart, and I get a call and I have to go several hours away to perform a funeral. And so rather than having a grand reunion, we get in the car, and Bob turned to me and said, you know, the bishop talked about that. And so we laughed all the way, even though we were thwarted in our time together. We do have a choice in life. We're all going into an uncertain future. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, but we do have a choice to throw that on the mercy of God, because God promises that all the resources of heaven are at our disposal. So as we walk into an uncertain future, we know the one who is near, our Lord, who will take us through good times, bad times, and the indifferent. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for 2020 hindsight. As we look back at our own lives and we see your hand of mercy, your hand of comfort, your hand of joy, we ask that you would plant in us that secure and abiding hope in you, that regardless of what our future holds, we know that you will be with us and we will walk with you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.